This is a really important one. And when I got into the room, it took me hours to do the session because the Lord really worked me over. Let's put it that way. And everything that could go wrong went wrong just now to make the copies. Spirit of confusion was all over it, so we just bind the spirit of confusion in Jesus' name. We send you to dry places by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, for this lesson today. It's very obvious its importance. And so, Father God, just open our hearts and our minds that we will receive exactly what we're supposed to receive, and not only receive it, but actually do something about it, actually make some changes. I thank you, Father God, that it's impossible for us with our tongue to actually tame it, but with you, all things are possible. And so I thank you, Father God, that you're with us every step of the way. We love you so much, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Ooh. All right, so this is session two of Now Faith Is series. And this is called, as you can see the little picture, called Tame the Tongue. Tame the Tongue. So you guys have this? Okay. Proverbs 4, 23 to 27. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And right there it says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. And do you notice how they hook the heart, the eyes, and the mouth all together? I mean, you know, from here up is the warfare, right? It's in our head. It's what we put our eyes to. It's what we put our ears to that starts the whole process. And so this is all part of the gate. Part of the gate is your mouth. The first part of the gate, to me, is incoming. What does that mean? Incoming. Whatever's incoming. What thoughts are incoming? And those incoming thoughts, you had to be very proactive about. What I'm going to take every single thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Any thought that comes in, I'm going to take it. I'm going to weigh it. I'm going to look at it and go, is that God? If it's not God, I'm pulling it down and throwing it out. I'm not going to rationalize it. I'm not going to sit around it. I'm not going to sit there and go, well, maybe I could. It's okay to think on that just for a moment. I'm just going to ponder that just for a minute. No, you take every thought captive and pull it down if it's not of God. And people always ask me, I don't know if it's of God. I promise you, if you take your thought and put it in your hand and look at it, I promise you, you will know exactly who it's from. It's just taking that moment in time to take it and look at it. Okay, I've been offended. Maybe somebody offended me. Okay, and they said something rude. And the first thought that comes in is, you know what? Screw them. And so what is that? Is that God? Because what that's saying is, I'm mad, I'm offended. If I'm saying those words, if I'm hearing those words in my head, that means I'm offended. Am I allowed to be offended as a believer in Jesus Christ? No. I am not allowed to be offended. Dead people cannot be offended. I'm supposed to be dead. I'm dead to self, right? When I ask Jesus in my heart, I die and he comes in. And so dead people cannot be offended. So that offense, as bad as it may be, and as much as you want to be mad at that person, has to get pulled down and out, right? Because now if I take that whole, you know, screw them mentality, and I'm mad at them, the next time I go talk to them, what's going to come out of my mouth? Probably an attitude, maybe. A little bit of attitude, maybe a little snip at them. And so it all starts with the thought coming in. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And that can be great fruit or not. Right? We could be eating lemons and things like that, or we could be eating what? Right? Blueberries and bananas and raspberries. Okay. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. That's huge. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. That's overwhelming to even think about. I don't ponder on that statement too much that the Lord makes there, because it's pretty overwhelming. Can you imagine that you're actually going to be held accountable for every thought, everything you ever said, ever, in your whole life? Wow, okay. James 3:2. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also to bridle the whole body. If we can learn to keep our mouth shut, yay. When in doubt, shut up. Right? The lying tongue. Now, as we go through this, I promise you, you're going to take your pencils, you're going to circle things that apply to you. And unless I, and I better see some pencils moving, because unless I feel like I'm this, the only detestable person here. Okay. All right, ready? Lying tongue. And this, you're going to see how deep this goes. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying tongues, lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Psalm 122, save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Okay, ready? Deceitful. Have you been tempted with a larger tax refund that you didn't tell your accountant about it? You're doing it and you're fudging the numbers? That's a deceit. How about you lie about your address so your child can go to a specific school? Right. That's right. You were tempted with that, weren't you? Mm-hmm. How about we learn from Jacob, right? Because Jacob and Esau, Jacob lied, right? And he went through an awful lot. He had to land up leaving his home and staying apart from his brother long enough that he felt like his brother wouldn't kill him when he saw him again. There's just a lot that can come out of a deceitful tongue. Now, I put B, half-truths. Here's one. You call in sick because a family member's in the hospital. Okay, so you call in sick for the whole day. The truth is you spent 2 hours at the hospital and 6 hours shopping for yourself. You're late because you lost your keys. Really, it's poor time management. So for those of you that are late, you're going to need to look at that. You need to circle that. And you need to say to yourself, I'm not going to make excuses anymore. I have poor time management. And see, once we take it, accountability for what's wrong with what's wrong with us, right, that's when we can fix it. Father, I repent for poor time management, and Holy Spirit, please help me to manage my time better. What do I need to do? Repentance means I don't want to do that behavior again. So maybe I need to set my alarm 10 minutes sooner or aim for 10 or 15 minutes sooner than what I really need to be there. Number C, this is, okay. This is a big one for me. This is one of my pet peeves. So, and maybe it's not for you guys, but exaggerating. It's funny at first, but in reality, you lose your credibility. Reality is, you know, it's when you're saying everybody thinks this way, or all the people do that, or the fish was this big, or, you know, it's exaggerating. Or it took me 10 hours to do that lesson when it only took you two. And you're telling, and so those people who exaggerate tend to, when they're telling stories, you know they're exaggerating because everybody's laughing, because you're like, you know that can't be true what they're saying. And it seems to be funny, but again, that person is losing their credibility. Okay? So here's the question. Here's the real question under a lying tongue. Do you trust God enough to tell the truth and leave the consequences to him? Are you able to tell the truth? Are you able to say, I only got 6 pages done instead of the 10 that you've asked me to do? You got just being able to tell the truth. Did you give that medication? Like one time I gave an insulin, and there's 15 different types of insulin, and I gave number 14 instead of number 15 type. And it wasn't that much of a difference, but I had immediately had to go to the doctor. Well, I didn't, but I did, okay? And I said, oh, yeah. I went to go sign it out, and I saw she had ordered the NPHN instead of the other one. And I went, I didn't give that one. I gave NPH instead of Humulin. And she goes, I said, I'll write out an incident report. I immediately took accountability for it. I could have lied. I could have just charted that I gave what she said that I was supposed to give. Could have just lied and charted it. But I didn't. I just went up to her and I said, I did not give that. I gave this instead. And I said, I'll make out an insulin report. And she goes, no, I'll cover you for that. There's not a big difference in that insulin. You've told me about it. It's not going to hurt the patient in any way. I will rewrite the order. Okay. If she's willing to do that, okay. But the point was, I took accountability for it. I did not lie. And I was willing to do what I needed to do, which was make an insulin report. So let's go to flattering. Oh, boy. Especially here in the South. We are so bad about this. Excessive and insincere praise. Jude 16:15. And isn't it amazing how the scriptures talk about all these different things? These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Girl, you can sing. Why don't you join the praise team? And she can't sing a lick. And then you, poor Pastor Scott's going to have to tell us she can't sing a lick. All right? That actually happened. And then she got mad and left the church. But she would have never come to the praise team hadn't somebody flattered her. She couldn't sing. And we do that. We're trying to be nice. Maybe somebody gives a solo. Okay, say they give a, okay, they give a solo. But they can't sing. You don't go up to them and tell them that's the best solo you ever heard, and boy, that was so great, and you need to sing again. That's wrong. That's sin. That's flattery. Okay? That's what it says right here. Flatter, you know, for their own advantage. I don't know what it would be for your own advantage to say that, or maybe you just feel bad for them because they couldn't sing, and so you just feel like you just, by saying that, it's going to make them feel better. I don't ever want to be told a lie to try to make me feel better. You know what I'm saying? And then going down that road, thinking that I can sing and I can't. Oh, man. It's kind of like, that would be like, and then later you find out, somebody finally tells you, you can't sing. It's almost like finding out that there's no Santa Claus. Your parents tell you all along that there's a Santa Claus, and then all of a sudden, there ain't no Santa Claus, okay? That's kind of like the same thing with singing. You know, you can sing, and then somebody finally goes, you can't sing. Telling somebody, and I know for you guys, this is a tough one. You are just stuck in a corner when somebody says to you, how do I look in this dress? What does this make me look like? You guys are just, I mean, I know, you're stuck in the corner. But, you know, I would just be honest. I mean, I actually have friends who take me shopping. They'll say, I want you to go shopping with me because I know you'll tell me the truth, you know. And you know, sometimes you just have to think of words that are just not so biting as, you know, well, the color looks good on you. I like that color. But this type of dress looks better on you. Or these type of pants look better on you. You're the best boss I've ever worked with. Don't say that if it's not true. Do you flatter to get favors or to feel like you fit in? Sometimes we do that. We're the new one in, right? You know, come to the ladies' brunch and you're new at the ladies' brunch and nobody knows you. And so you might have a tendency to flatter those that are around just to try to fit in. And that's fine if what you're saying is truth. Okay? But I guess the bottom line is, what is it coming out of? Are you saying things out of ungodly emotions? Am I saying things because I feel like I don't fit in? I feel like the odd man out? Is that why I'm talking right now? Instead of a place of godly emotions, of peace and calm, okay? Psalm 12:3 says, may the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. He doesn't like it either. I mean, he's saying straight up he doesn't like it. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. So he doesn't like when you flatter people, and he doesn't like when you're bragging about yourself. And we'll get to that one later. Do you lack faith in God's ability to give you favor with other people? So that's the challenge I'm asking you about. That's your challenge. Do you lack faith in God's ability to give you favor with other people? Can you trust God to give you favor without flattering everybody to try to get the favor? All right, let's move to the manipulative tongue. Judges 16:15, then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. Really, if you loved me, well, if you loved me, we put the shoulder out, and we turn the head. Us manipulators, we got it all down pat, right? Those that used to manipulate. We've repented for such things, moved on, haven't we? Okay. So here's some things I want you to think about. Have you ever said these things? If you love me, you would. If you love me, you would never smoke cigarettes. Yeah, no. I wasn't going to look at you, but you admitted, so I'm like, okay. Your decision will be the death of me. I can get a woman to do anything I want. People are onto you, and you will lose credibility. People are onto you, and you're going to lose credibility. Maybe not at first. Jesus never manipulated. It is deceptive and attempts to take away a person's free will to choose. And that's what you're trying to do. You're actually trying to make them choose a certain thing. It stirs resentment and rebellion in those you attempt to manipulate. I am the first one to attest to that. When Scott and I were first married, I was, at that time, if we're going to measure, I was further along my walk. I was having prayer time. I was reading the Bible, and I just never saw him do those things. And so I would manipulate. I would say things like, one time I said to him, "Are you saved?" That was my attempt to manipulate him into doing Bible study in front of me or praying in front of me. And I'd say, do you ever pray? I never see you praying. Who do I think I am? Now later, of course, he since took off and went miles past me. Okay. But years later, we talked about that. And he said there were times where he was actually getting ready to go in to do a Bible study. And when I would say that, he would get rebellious and not go in. He says, now, I was wrong. He goes, I was wrong getting rebellious about it. He goes, but it caused a spirit of rebellion. It'd make me so mad when you say that. And so all I can tell you is that manipulation causes rebellion in that person. That person's going to get resentful and rebellious. My mom used to manipulate all the time. She'd try to manipulate us, you know, into coming over for Christmas all day or whatever. And my one sister was just not in a good place, and she was. My mom was trying to manipulate her and her husband at the time to come over for the whole day, and they didn't want to be there. They wanted to be at their friend's house drinking, okay? And that wasn't going to happen at my mom's house. So she wanted to party it over here and then just zoom in and zoom out at my mom's house for an hour or two. And my mom was on the phone talking to her, and so I looked at her, and I said to my mom, and I said, you and I need to talk. I'm doing all the sign language. So she gets off the phone, and she says, "What?" I said, "Do you want Lori here for 2 hours and enjoy herself? Or do you want her here all day and hate being here every second of it?" "Well, of course I want her to be here because she wants to be here." And I said, "And right now you're trying to manipulate me with your tears. So you could just shut it down, Mom. What you're doing right now, Mom, is all manipulation. And so lay it down, let her come for the 2 hours she wants, and then she enjoys herself." So that was somebody manipulating. I called him out on it. And I would hope that as a friend that you would do the same, right? Because it's really not pretty. Nobody likes it. Okay, so do you struggle trusting God with your spouse, children, grandchildren, boss? Take this to him in prayer. He can reveal to their heart where only true change can occur. And so the challenge to you is you probably are not trusting God in that area with that person. Okay? And I just promise you, I mean, when God got hold of Scott, well, the rest is history, right? And I didn't help one iota. All I did was actually hinder, right? And so once I got out of God's way, I heard a pastor saying, every time you want to talk to your husband, ask him to pray, ask him to do this, ask him to do that, I want you to shut up and pray for him. And I thought, you know what? I need to do that. And my husband was listening to the same, we were driving separate cars to a church, and we were listening to the same station. When we got to the church, I was already convicted by that message, and my husband said, were you listening to the message on the radio station? I said, yes, and he goes, you know that's you, right? Well, I wanted to punch him right in the nose. Okay, so he was right, and I said, oh, yeah, I know, and he goes, do you think you can do that? And so then it was like game stinking on. Oh, you bet. I am not going to say one word ever again to you. And I didn't. Now, I didn't have the right heart when I did it, right? I was, okay, you're right. I'm not going to say one single word. But God just used it. I did. I shut up. And then I watched God come right in and take over and just change my husband. It was amazing. So I just challenge you. Whatever it is you're trying to, whoever you're manipulating, was a child or a spouse or a sibling, or whatever it is that you're trying to do, or parent. Maybe you're trying to manipulate your parent into giving you something. I don't know. Lay it down. I'm challenging you. Do you lack trust in God in that area? Hasty tongue. Proverbs 29:20. There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Ain't that the truth? Okay. The mouth is moving before the brain is engaged. That's what that means. Only a monster has had an abortion. That was said in the middle of a ladies' brunch one time. Our ladies' brunch. That is hasty tongue, okay? Because guess what? Statistics say if I have 15 women in a room, probably 3 of them had an abortion. And so when somebody says, only a monster's had an abortion, okay? So I had to address that very gently throughout the brunch, so as not to slam the person who said it, but at the same time minister to those whose hearts were ripped wide open who have had an abortion, okay? And so committing to something before looking at the total picture. When my grandpa died, my grandmother, this is what she's worried about. My grandpa dies, we're over there ministering to my grandmother, and she's worried about how her house is going to get clean. Because Grandpa's dead now. God. And I opened my mouth, and I lived an hour away, by the way. I'll clean your house. And I went over there, hour away, I drove back every 2 weeks and cleaned her house until she got placed in a nursing home. And that was very, very hard because I had a hasty tongue. I shouldn't have made that commitment. It was too much for me. No, I did it because that's who I am. I'm just very accountable. Okay, but that was really, really hard. So be really careful about making very hasty commitments. Maybe sometimes that can happen in church where you make a hasty commitment. Please don't do that because it's harder for us when you do that to us. You do something and then pull out than to not do it at all. Because if I hand you something and then you hand it back to me, that's more of a mess than if I never handed it to you. Okay? So always make sure it's God, not hopefully. This church is not manipulating you into anything. We try to be very careful about not filling holes or trying to manipulate somebody into a need that we have. We try to be very, very, we're very, very proactive about that, about thinking about what we're doing and making sure that people are going into positions because they're called to them. On what? Oh, okay. Thank you, by the way. Yes, that's a great one. So the question was, is like if you're in an argument and you start saying things out of anger, really is what you're doing. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's great, Ryan. That is a hasty tongue. That's a good one. And that's where you've just got to shut up. I mean, seriously, we want to have the last word or we want to. Now, my husband is so good about not having to have the last word. He's the one that you're in the middle of the argument. I forget what was going on. Really, we don't argue much. It just doesn't happen much. If it does, it lasts maybe 3 minutes. I mean, you know. But I can remember, I said something, we were saying something, and he just turned to me and he goes, I love you so much. What the heck? You're so doggone nice. What is up with that? Exactly. What is up with that? Okay. But you know what that did was, could I continue? No. It took that demon off guard, didn't it? That demon went, whoa, what just happened? Oh, boy. Okay, so it was like, he just stopped it like that. So, yeah, hasty tongue. So that those people who have a hasty tongue, I have a hasty tongue. Type A's, people who talk fast. Okay, I talk fast. You know, I think fast, I talk fast. I try to learn to slow that down, but I'm going to fall into this more than somebody who's a slow thinker. I think of people like Margaret Gilmore. She's one that she thinks before she talks to somebody, a friend of ours. There's people who, you know, and when they talk, everybody listens. Those are the people who don't have a hasty tongue. They don't talk much. So when they do, it's like everybody listens. Donice Orton's another one. Donice Orton doesn't talk much. When she does, everybody listens because it's something worthy being said, and it's usually very, very accurate. Okay? And that's what you want to be known for, right? So I'm trying to think here. Don't utter anything hastily before the Lord. Why don't we ask Peter about that? I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to stay with you the whole time. What happened? Okay, aren't we glad that God, look, and God, he's the first one that gave a sermon after they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, there's not anything that we could do that the Lord goes, I cannot use you anymore because you are just so pathetic. Okay, I can't trust you for nothing. Peter denied him three times, and then he landed up preaching and 3,000 people got saved. That's just amazing. God takes us and takes the impossible and just turns it around. Proverbs 18:13, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Look at all these great proverbs. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Has that ever happened to you? Where you've spouted off before listening to all the facts. Those of us who have a hasty tongue tend to do this. Has anyone said to you, will you please let me finish talking? Okay, if they've said that to you, you have a hasty tongue, okay? Would you please let me finish talking? That Teresa, she will give you a piece of her mind. That would be somebody that has a hasty tongue. Anybody said that about you before? Oh, she'll tell you straight up. There's a difference between being direct and having a hasty tongue. And I'm hoping that I've gotten to the place of being direct and not having a hasty tongue. So I put here, ask Holy Spirit to zip your lip and open your ears. Zip your lip and open your ears. So I've probably learned at my workplace I'll give you a great example where you don't get the total picture. You start talking before you get the total picture. I had a lady come in with a child. He was probably about 10 years old. She had just got done. Literally, she was coming down from Hendersonville from an appointment, and evidently the doctor missed infected ears. And, of course, going down the grade, the ears were acted up. She came straight to the emergency room. This child was punching her, pinching her, trying to bite her as she's giving me information. And I didn't have the total picture. And I was up to here, because I have a short fuse for brats. So I said, how about if we stop and you get your child under control? And just when I said that, the boy turned around, and on the back of his shirt, I said, excuse me, I'm autistic. And I was just like, no. Okay. And she looked at me, and then I saw the shirt, and I said, I am so sorry. Can we start again? And she goes, sure. And I literally went, hi, my name's Teresa. I'm going to be your nurse today. And I acted like we were literally starting again. So that was a great example where I didn't have the total picture. I didn't see the back of his T-shirt. All I saw was the front of him trying to bite his mom, and he was just severely autistic. And when he was in pain, that's what he would do. And so she's talking to me. She's pulling him off of her so she's not getting hurt and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just thinking he's a brat. So great example, right? Now, page 3, divisive tongue. Okay, so those of you who are in blended families, that means those of you who have two moms and two dads, because, okay, there's been divorces that have happened and things like that, the divisive tongue is usually slithering all through here. Okay? Sibling rivalry, blended families are the big ones. 7 things the Lord hates. Proverbs 6:19, a false witness who pours out lies. A person who sows discord in a family. Discord means trouble, trying to get each other in trouble, trying to start a fight. That's what that means. So this person is a peace breaker. So this is where if you're in a blended family, you're around, maybe you're not around your cousins or your other siblings, I don't know. But when you get around them, or you get to go spend time with mom or go spend time with dad or whatever, and these people are, what do you think they're doing? They should be either not talking at all about the other mom and dad, right? Or saying things that are positive and uplifting. But if they're saying things that pull you apart from your family, that's bad. You don't want to listen to that. Oh, well, your stepmom, she's doing this and that, or your dad, he never does this, or, you know, I don't get to see you because, or, you know, that's divisive tongue. Very prevalent in blended families. Have you at any time told another person something negative that someone else had said about that person? So have you ever said, like, so say if, Cheyenne, if somebody says something negative about your sister Faith, but she doesn't know it. But then you turn around and you tell her. You know, well, Susie said this about you, Faith, and you tell her. Okay, what's the point of that? If it's not uplifting, of good report, don't say it. Who needs to say that? I actually had a coworker. I pulled a night shift, which I very rarely do. And I'm not sure what my presence does, but one of the girls who works nights said, wow, you're pulling a night shift? Woo, I can't wait to see that. They're going to have to be ship shape when you're there. Well, first of all, I'm not in charge when I work a night shift. But it was like, you know, oh, yeah, and so-and-so said he doesn't like you because you tried to push Jesus down his throat one time. Now, what's so funny is I never have ever talked to that person about God. Now, he's heard me talk to other people about God, and he's probably intimidated, convicted, and all those kind of things. So he said a total falsehood about me, right? Said he didn't like me because I actually pushed him into a corner. I'm really going to push a grown man into a corner, physically. I physically pushed him in a corner, made him go in a corner, and shoved Jesus down his throat. It's just amazing. All right. That was told to me. And I rebuked the person who told me that. I said, don't ever do that to me again. Now I have a totally different picture of this person. I didn't need to know any of that. Tell me how that helped me in any way. Why did you feel the need to tell me that? I did. I just told her straight up. It's not right. And so then I have this picture of him now in my head that I didn't have before. You know, and I had to make sure I let go of the offense because, first of all, I didn't do any of that. So here I was being falsely accused. So there were things I had to pull down. And you know what I'm saying? That I would have never had to pull down if she not said anything. So she had a divisive tongue. She was trying to cause division between me and the night shift. And she just thought this was going to be a great thing to watch that night, I guess. I don't know. I'm just signing up trying to help out, right? Evaluate your motives. Why are you saying what you're saying? Well, I heard mom and dad say that they like me better than you and that I obey more than you do. Why does that need to be said? That does not need to be said. That's a divisive tongue. So what are you doing? Are you jealous? Are you talking out of your own rejection? Maybe that's why you're doing it. I don't know. Every time I'm around your parents, they make me feel unwelcomed. You're putting your spouse or whoever it is in a very awkward position when you're doing that. Well, I want to go to Christmas and see them. Well, I'll go, but it just makes me feel uncomfortable the whole time I'm there. That's a divisive tongue. And manipulative. You're trying to manipulate that your spouse or whoever it is into not going to Christmas that day to go, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to be around those people. I forgot what Pastor Scott said. If it's uplifting, there's three things that he said. It needs to be uplifting. I forget. There's three things. And if it, but didn't follow those three things. It had to be true. Had to be kind. There's a third one. Necessary. Was it true? Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? And it needs to fit all three. Because sometimes it's truth. I may have some truth to give you. But do I need to give it? Because maybe the truth is a real big rebuke. And do I really need to give the rebuke? And if I do, what kind of feelings are coming out of that? Why am I giving the rebuke? Because I want to really give it to you? Or because I love you and I see you change? So is it kind? Is it necessary? And is it true? So some things fall into kind, necessary, true. Maybe it's true. And sometimes we do have to talk negative about somebody. We get that as leadership. If somebody in the body of Christ is walking in rebellion and, you know, Susie's out and we saw her out at the corner and she was, you know, selling drugs. Somebody saw her do that. Yeah, we need to probably go. First of all, I would probably go to Susie. But some people don't feel comfortable enough to do that. They might come to the pastor. And so that's something that is a true thing that is necessary. It's not actually kind. But is it being brought forth with the right heart? Are we telling Pastor Scott because we want to see Susie get her comeuppance because we're jealous because, you know, Pastor Scott really likes Susie? Or am I telling Pastor Scott because, I'm trying to save Susie. She's in a mess, and we know that if Pastor Scott gets involved, she may actually listen to him because she really looks up to him. And I don't want to see Susie. If your heart's right. Yes, if your heart's intent is right. And that's a very good point. That's a very good point. That you are. It is kind. It is friendship, right? But there's a couple times where I've had to go to Pastor Scott with something, and I've waited 24 hours because my heart was not right. I was mad, disappointed, betrayed, and I had to let go of all those feelings before I brought it before Scott, just because I wanted to make sure it was all good for the right reasons. Okay. Argumentative. So I put down here on this one, ask Holy Spirit to quicken your mind on Philippians 4:8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's what you should put your mind on. Remember, your words start in your mind. I couldn't help it. That just came out of my mouth. Yeah, yes, you could. It just came out. I can't help it. Yes, you can. You're accountable, which is really good because then it shows that you have that control to be able to stop it. It's a good thing, except for when you don't want to take responsibility. Then I guess it's not. But argumentative, retaliating tongue. Proverbs 23, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. 1 Peter 3:9, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. What? Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing? How about some of those girls that have made fun of you, Cheyenne? Do you remember, Cheyenne, when we went to the ice cream shop? You saw that girl? Mm-hmm. Look what God says for you to do. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Maybe that's what you and I should have done. But I think we actually did land up praying. We did land up praying for her, didn't we? We land up praying for her. We did. And that's what we need to do. But that's out of our comfort zone. We want to hurt back. Well, yeah, we want to defend ourselves. Well, it can, but some people don't have a hasty tongue and they're still argumentative. They might sit back and be quiet, but then they still want to get the last word. But yeah, a lot of these, you know, you have to remember one thing about Satan and his kingdom. Have you ever played the game Red Rover, Red Rover, send Teresa right over? Do you remember how everybody locks arms to play that? That's to Satan's kingdom. They're all intertwined. They got their arms locked. They're strong. And if we were as unified as they are, we wouldn't even be hearing about the kingdom of darkness because we'd have it. They'd be annihilated, right? But everything's intertwined. In other words, if I let fear in, I can promise you there's more than fear coming in. Because he's holding somebody's hand. Maybe it's rejection, maybe it's unforgiveness, but I promise you, it's like what Ryan's saying, is that, you know, well, isn't the hasty tongue? Well, they're intertwined. They work very well together. And so what's really cool, though, is when you're repenting for one, you're unraveling a bunch of junk. And remember, it takes two to argue. You may be sitting here, and maybe your family members aren't. Or maybe they are, and one's getting it, and the other one ain't. One's doing their homework during the week, the other one, whatever. You stop your stuff, you're going to see a change in your environment in your home. You stop your argumentative spirit, it takes two to argue. So maybe that demon's still operating through and in and through your husband or wife's mouth or whatever, okay? But you've stopped. I've had people who've come in for deep healing, and I've walked them through these things, and they're like, I can't believe the change in my home, and yet nobody's saved in my home, or nobody's ever come here and gotten this kind of healing. I said, it's because you're getting the healing. Takes two to argue, and one's shutting up. There's no arguing. Takes two to argue, okay? Argumentative tongue. Where are we here? Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Yeah, I read that. Okay. Do you enjoy directly resisting anyone whose opinion is different than yours? Okay. This has been big this year with the last 4 years with the Republican-Democrat stuff. Here we go. Religion and politics are hot topics. Okay. Most people will avoid discussions with a person who's argumentative just because it becomes too stressful to be around you. Learn to disagree without being disagreeable. Okay? This tongue has a high likelihood of ruining your testimony. This tongue has a high likelihood of ruining your testimony. You would lose your witness as a Christian in a mini second, somebody pushes your button. Okay, about whatever. About Republican, Democrat, you know, gun control, whatever. Okay, and it's okay to be excited and passionate about your Second Amendment, that's fine, and you can share, but then when the person shares back and it's totally opposite of yours, you can always just do what my brother does. Interesting. Interesting. Great word. It's non-divisive. It shows you're listening. Doesn't mean you're agreeing, just means you're listening, which is what you should be doing, right? Listening. Doesn't mean. Right. Right. I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I do that. Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Let me see what else. This thing up with that. If you resemble this, think back. Did you grow up in such a home where there was the form, this is the form of communication that was used? Are you trying to bolster your own self-worth? It costs you nothing to respect someone's opinion, especially in matters that have no eternal consequences. We bring glory to God when we remain loving. Is it a kingdom issue? Right? If it's not a kingdom issue, let it go. Just let it go. And it doesn't mean, like I said, it doesn't mean you're agreeing with them. Okay? It doesn't mean you have to continue to argue. I'm telling you, there was two male nurses that they had it out. One was Democrat and one was Republican, and the Republican, he's usually very quiet and calm, and his button just got pushed too many times. The Democrat poked the bear too many times. Well, in regards to, yeah, exactly. But you're not gonna concede your belief, right? You're going to tell your belief and what you believe, like whether it's abortion, whether it's whatever it is, right? It's church, right? And then they're going to say, well, we don't, you know, I'm an atheist. I could care less about church. And you're just going to hear him out. I don't believe in God. Okay. Yeah, they are. She's being triggered. We're triggering Pam right now. Okay. Right? But so you know, Jim got triggered too many times. He lost it. I mean, they had it out. And thank God there were no patients in the department. I mean, I said, men. And finally I went, boys. Because they weren't acting like men. First I said, gentlemen. Then they were, they couldn't hear my voice. And then finally I went, boys. And they looked at me and I said, that's what you're acting like right now. We are paid professionals. You are not paid to do this. Okay? So well, then they stopped. But yeah, it was pretty bad. They were having it out. And again, this tongue has a high likelihood of ruining your testimony. Boasting tongue. Proverbs 27:2, let someone else praise you, not your own mouth. I love that. A stranger, not your own lips. Take the back seat when pride screams for the front row. Okay? I will tell you right now, sometimes you might be telling stories or things that God has done in and through you, and just be really careful how you're coming across with those things. And ask yourself, do I have to tell that? Do I need to tell that story that way to really get this point across? When you come across with, oh, God really used me in this revival, and oh my gosh, God really used me in that revival, and I'm taken to every place where there's going to be a revival. What happens is all the good stuff you're getting ready to share after you just said that, everybody goes zinc. They shut their ears off. It's so nauseating. Pride is very offensive. And unfortunately, those of us who have pride are the last to know. And we love people if we tell them. And all you can do is tell them, okay? You know, we've had in the past where we've talked to other people about their issues. People have talked to me, but I mean, when we have a leadership meeting, I don't know what you guys think we do in our leadership meetings, but I guess in some churches, they just talk about the budget and this and that and the other. But when we have like a retreat or something with our eldership, we get pretty down and dirty. You know, we're looking at each other and going, okay, is there anything about me that I need to change that I might not see? And they tell us. You know, and we have to be able to receive that and be able to make some changes. And so sometimes when you see changes made, it's because we've had a leadership meeting, an elders meeting, and we've gotten real with each other. And because we all just want to glorify God, right? But, you know, when you're asking for somebody to tell you, you got to be willing to receive it. All right? I asked that one time, and I had two ladies say to me, you're always in warfare mode. Now, that is my gifting. And so a lot of time when people come around me, they're calling on my gifting. And so, yeah, I'm in this mode. But they said, but you don't need to make announcements in that mode. And they actually grabbed a mic and imitated me during the meeting. This is what you look like when you make an announcement. And you're So the bottom of what they're trying to tell me was that I was really intense, and that there's times and that when I'm coming in, I'm coming here to worship. I'm not really coming here to spend time with you guys. That's not why I'm here on Sundays. Okay, just saying. All right. Spending time with you guys, that's what home groups are for, that's what other things are for outside of here. But I have to learn that sometimes people are just ministered to by talking to me because I'm leadership. And so they said sometimes you'll walk in and you're so focused on God that you look unapproachable. So that's another thing that was told to me. And so I had to take that and chew on it and say, okay, is that something I need to change? Because some things I take and I go, thank you, I hear you. And some things the Holy Spirit says, I don't want you to change that. But I'm still going to hear people and chew on it and mull on it, okay, and bring forth change. And I wouldn't know those things without being told. Had no clue. No clue. Had no clue that it looked like I was unapproachable sometimes. So we need each other. Daniel 4, God interrupted Nebuchadnezzar. He lost his mind and his kingdom. What is that about? What do I mean by that? God interrupted Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar sat there and said, I'm all that and a bag of chips. He was king, And he sat there and marveled at his own self, okay? And he started saying how wonderful he was, and he literally lost his mind in his kingdom. Literally. Okay? Like that. I'm telling you, God, do you find yourself talking about the great things you've done and are doing? Do you compare yourself to your coworkers or friends? Do you brag all the time about your great childcare skills, your great well-paying job, your wonderful children? Facebook is a plethora of all that. The Lord says to only compare yourself to Him. I promise you, those things you see on Facebook and stuff, most of it ain't true. Right, exactly. The beautiful smiling faces. And of course, they pinched their kid to get them a smile a minute before that. Okay, I mean, I think about that, even that with some of the pictures we've taken. I can remember Brett would just not sit still and smile for a picture. Poor Ryan would have to sit there and try to get him to look at the camera and, you know, and smile himself. And oh my gosh. And we're like, Brett. And finally, we got a picture. But when I look at that picture, all I think about was the 15 minutes trying to get Brett to smile. And we were so aggravated by the time we got the picture. It's like, exactly. Oh my gosh. We're all like this, and we're like wanting to kill my kid. I'm like, oh, kill Brett. You know, I was like, geez. He was something else. He just would not cooperate when it came to family pictures. Mamma mia. But that, and it was funny because we're sitting here talking like this, and the photographer's there. Wow, we look like we're walking in the kingdom of God, talking like this to our kid. Brett, sit up and smile right now. I'm going to spank you. How about that? Really? What? Seriously, that's what we were saying to the kid. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? Bottom line is, don't boast. Let people boast about you. And you know what? It's okay for people to boast about you. It's okay. All right, we did that at the ladies' brunch. Just boasting. I was just boasting about everybody that was around me. Okay, and it's okay. Receive the compliment. Self-deprecating tongue. That's a big word. This person speaks of themselves as being of little or no worth and unable to be used by God. So a self-deprecating tongue. Yes. Maria, at least you own up. You're a good girl. Okay. You slam yourself. You pick on yourself. You think you're no good. Okay. Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Self-deprecating displeases God. Ask Moses. God told Moses to do something. Well, I can't. But. Oh, my gosh. God Almighty's talking to him through a burning bush. And I can't talk really well, and I can't do this very good, and I can't do that very good. Don't do that. What others call you isn't important. What do you call you? Watch negative labels like I'm stupid, I'll never be thin, I'm not good at spelling, I have no self-control, I'll never be able to teach. Remember, you are rejecting God's word. Lastly, don't define yourself by an experience. Maybe you have one bad experience. You ever had that? I remember one time I was in a play and I forgot my line. So can you imagine that if I grabbed hold of that experience, would I be teaching right now? If I grabbed onto that experience and never let it go? No, right? The enemy would be going, you teach? You couldn't even remember one line. And you're going to get up there? Come on now. That's the enemy. So don't define yourself by an experience. Then we have the indiscreet tongue. We're on the bottom of page 3. Proverbs 2:11. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. When sin has to be exposed, we must not cover up, but we must cover with love and compassion. The nakedness of Moses is an example of that. The nakedness. Moses was naked, and one son wouldn't look at his father naked, and he took his clothing and he backed up backwards and covered him. The other one laughed and thought it was funny. Sorry. I put down Moses. Thank you, guys. I need to change that. Thank you. I see it right here. Well, I got it. Noah. When sin has to be exposed, we must not cover up, but we must cover with. And we're going to stop. We're going to park here for a second. We are not to cover up sin. I don't care in the name of whatever, in the name of your kids, in the name of your friends, in the name of whatever. We do not cover up sin. I mean, God hated it so much that he sent his only son to die for it. And so we cannot cover it up. But it goes back to our heart's intent. What is our heart? What's the attitude of my heart? Why am I exposing the sin? Is it because I want to see Maria get in trouble? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm jealous of Maria, and I'm finally got her on something. Can't wait to tell Pastor. Okay, that's bad. Okay, that's not the right one, okay? At the same time, well, you know, Maria's a really good friend of mine, and I know that she's sinning in this area, and she, you know, I just... afraid she might get mad at me and not be my friend anymore if I call her out on that sin. That is not being a friend. And I will be held accountable to that by God. She's sinning away and I'm not even calling her out on it. That is wrong. And we all are probably guilty of that at least one time in this room, especially with our family. Lying, covering up, okay? And so we need to expose sin with the right heart. And the right heart is to cover with love and compassion. It's always about the idea of restoration and reconciliation. I'm going to expose your sin because I want to restore you to a right relationship with God and with me. Because I'm a God follower. And I'm not going to have you talking nonsense or whatever. In the middle of your sin, I'm not going to allow you to walk in all of that. When I know it's sin and not expose it and tell you about it. And I would hope you would do the same for me. Here's a great example. Somebody did this a couple years ago. Somebody had some insulin that was unopened. Insulin's very expensive. And I knew that somebody had this, needed the same insulin. So I took that insulin that was unopened and I gave it to this person over here. Guess what? That's illegal. I know that. At the moment, I didn't know that. It was just like Dina McCarty came to me, and she goes, do you know that's illegal to do that? I just went, oh, my gosh, you're right. It is illegal. You cannot take any prescription drug and give it to somebody else. And I was just thinking about the fact that I could get somebody this free drug they needed. You know, I mean, wow. So I had to repent. I mean, I was all, huh? I know, exactly. I know. And as a matter of fact, then it happens again at work. I was nauseated, and my friend Tina came and gave me a Zofran. Zofran is a prescription nausea medicine. She handed me a Zofran. I put it in my mouth, and Dr. Owens looked, and she goes, do you know that was illegal what you guys just did? I'm like, that's the second time I've done it in a year. Oh, my gosh. So I had to really go before the Lord and go, Lord, you have to really quicken my spirit about that, because I just have this, this block, you know, but see, that didn't, you know, I mean, Dr. Owens called me out on it because she knew she could, and she knew she needed to. She knew that I would be horrified to know that I just did something like that. That's why she immediately said, because you know what she just did was illegal. I'm like, oh, my God, I almost wanted to spit it out, but it was already dissolving under my tongue. It was like, oh, my God. And so, you know, that she was being a good friend. And she was right. Like you said, I was trafficking. I could actually be arrested for that. Okay? So, indiscreet. And one other thing we want to add here is, do you speak only to the person or the authority figure? Does it go any further? If you have something on somebody, you really should go to that person. If you feel really uncomfortable going to that person, then you go to the leadership. And we should not be hearing about it everywhere else but us. And I'm going to tell you straight up right here, if you guys have something that you need to say that's about somebody else that's not cool, and you know, okay, you better make sure you have the right heart. You make sure you only bring it to the person that needs to hear it. If I hear it, If I hear you talking about Susie and you felt that the word that she gave was not prophetic, she came up to you and gave a word and said she felt it was from the Lord, and you didn't feel like it was from the Lord, you need to talk to Sister Susie about that or just not bring it up at all. But you better not be going to three other people telling me that Sister Susie doesn't move in the prophetic and she gave you a word and you didn't think it was from God and blah, 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 blah. Because I will call you, I promise you I will call you on that. I'll probably have to make sure my attitude's right before I do it, okay? And make sure I'm in peace and calm, but I'm going to call you down on that. I'm going to call you into the office with Pastor Scott. In front of Pastor Scott, I will say, I've heard this from three different people, and none of them are Susie. Three different people told me about this. I'm going to call you on it, as I should, and as you should with me, okay? And so that's one reason why you don't hear a lot of murmuring, grumbling to me and gossiping in this church, because we do that. That's what we do. We're going to call you out on it. Doesn't mean I'm mad at you. Okay? Mad at the fact that you embrace that demonic entity in there, but we're just going to call you on it. Still love you. Going to treat you the same. Not going to be mad at you that you did that, but we're going to hold you accountable to it. Okay? And underneath the indiscreet tongue, we should never be talking about you and your spouse's sex life. We don't want to hear your intimate details about your sex life unless you're coming to me for deep healing. If you're coming for counseling, that's a whole different thing. But we shouldn't be hearing in the middle of a ladies' brunch or out in the patio out there when we're playing games. Okay. Just saying that because sometimes we get silly, right? We get into silly talk. Page 4. Know-it-all tongue. The wise don't make a show of their knowledge, but fools broadcast their foolishness. Okay. Do you have something to say on every subject brought up? Do you know more than anybody else about the subject? Do you find yourself correcting people even when not solicited? Sometimes somebody might be saying something. Okay? Somebody might be saying something. And maybe it's not totally accurate. Is it a God thing? Is it a kingdom issue? You need to really weigh. Do you really need to calm down on that as they're talking? Let them talk, okay? Here's one. Let someone share information with you without letting them know you already know that. Sometimes people will talk to me about medical things. They don't know I'm a nurse. And they come up with layman terms that are really hysterical, actually. But anyway, I'll let them use those layman terms, and they're just talking, and that's all okay. Sometimes, even if you are humble, your mere presence can make people feel inferior. Even if you are humble, your mere presence can make people feel inferior. So showing off your stuff will just alienate people from you, okay? You are the one who wants to know why you don't have a close friend. You're the one who wants to know why you don't have a close friend. If you're the one that wants to know why you don't have a close friend, you're probably one who you know everything about everything. Well, you think you do. Okay? And maybe you do. But you're making sure everybody else knows it. And you probably dominate the conversation. You do a lot of talking. Everybody else is doing a lot of listening. So we have to learn how to what's the word I'm looking for? We have to treasure people's time. We need to treasure people's time. If I'm going to go see Pastor Scott, or like people come to me for deep healing, I automatically put boundaries up. Well, you'll be here for 2 hours. Most of the people say, I'm going to be here that long. Oh, you'll want to be here longer, but we're going to stop at 2 hours. And 2 hours goes like this, and they're like, 2 hours is up already? I wanted to share one more thing with you. We'll share that at another time. Okay, that's me. You need to treasure my time, and a lot of times I'm going to treasure my time. Okay, I'm going to put the boundaries up around you. But we have to learn to treasure each other's time. If you say, do you have 15 minutes? You need to really mean 15 minutes. Okay? Pastor, do you have 15 minutes? Can I have 15 minutes of your time? Or can I have 10 minutes of your time? Do you really mean 10? Do you really mean 15? Or do you mean an hour and 15? Okay? Slandering tongue, gossiping, betraying. I put it all underneath the same one. Because if you're gossiping, you're slandering and you're betraying. Those who lead blameless lives do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Awesome. Those who lead blameless lives do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. They refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Now, there's very few people you're going to meet like that, that actually shut you down if you say anything. Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy friend, person keeps a secret. Can you recall a time in which you made a damaging comment or released a confidential word about somebody? So, girls, with your friends and stuff like that, has a friend ever told you something in confidence, in other words, a secret, and then have you ever told that secret to somebody else? Right? Can you recall a time where you did that? What was your motive? Why'd you do it? Was it to bring pain? Was it your own insecurities? Was it for you to fit in? Did you just have a hasty tongue, just didn't think about it? This does not negate the fact of accountability of sin or harm to somebody. But that falls between you and them in our leadership. What do I mean by that? This does not negate the fact of accountability of sin or harm to someone. There is a time where you're going to have to sometimes tell us something, because we just need to know. Somebody's looking at child porn and they're teaching children's church. We need to know. We're not going to kick that person out. We're going to try bring them through healing if they want it, bring them through healing of their addiction to child porn, but they're surely not going to be teaching children's church while they're getting their healing. Make sense? Okay, somebody's having an affair, and they're leading our praise and worship team. Praise and worship and prayer are like frontline stuff, man. Okay, did you know that, right? Praise and worship and prayer. The part that nobody wants to come to, the praise and worship part, a lot of people say, I'm coming just for the word. Praise and worship is why we're here on Sundays. If Pastor Scott gets to speak, that's icing on the cake. We're supposed to be here to praise and worship the Lord. And you got a leader, and they're having an affair? No. Okay, that's mocking God. That's a big no. But I could go there. They're just a great guitar player, and and they're just great on the keyboard. Wow. Okay. Okay. No. I don't care how great they are on the keyboard. Christ followers are supposed to be leading praise and worship. Right? Okay. When we attempt to defame and gossip about others, we are sowing evil seeds for which we will reap the consequences. You will reap what you sow. That is such a principle that is for everybody. It's for mankind. It's not just for saved people. You will reap what you sow. And if you sow discord and you sow gossiping and slandering and betrayal, you are going to reap it. It's a promise. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Has someone betrayed your confidence? Are you the offender? Have you forgiven the offender in your heart? Even if the offender is you, have you forgiven yourself? Maybe you've offended. Maybe you've been the betrayer. Maybe you've done something wrong. Have you forgiven yourself? Trust God. Learn from the burn and forgive to live. I like that one. Learn from the burn and forgive to live. Unforgiveness kills you. Unforgiveness releases toxins in your body. It releases cortisol, high levels of cortisol, which is an inflammatory factor which increases your chances of high blood pressure, heart attack, stroke. This is medical stuff I'm giving you right now, okay? Imagine that, how it all goes, fits together. Unforgiveness, I promise you, is a premature death if you don't let it go. And so I always tell people, that person that you're mad at, are they worth that? Are they worth you dying prematurely? No. That's right. Let it go. They're not worth it. Hallelujah. I remember Daniel telling me, he just decided one day, I'm just not going to be mad at people. That's pretty amazing that he did that, and he's lived it out ever since. He just doesn't get mad. Okay? He's adding years onto his life because he just refuses to take it on. It's just like, I'm not taking it on. But what was amazing when Daniel told me that was it reminded me that it's a choice. It's just a choice. Correct. You might say something at the moment, then it's done and it's over with and you let it go. Right. just doesn't carry it. And he said to me, I just made a choice. I didn't like the way I felt when I kept it all in. Wow. It was just so simplistic. It was very profound when he said that to me. I was like, wow, that was really profound. Okay. Amen, there is. And you know how, and what I point out to people about that is, I'll have people come into my room. I'll say, you need to forgive that person. Oh, I already have. No, you haven't. And they'll argue with me. Oh, yes, I have. I said, I'm not asking you. And they get a little bit frustrated, but they have to remember they came into my room. They came to me, right? So I'll say, I'm not asking you. And let me tell you why I know for a fact you haven't. All you talk about is that. They bring it up all the time. So if you're bringing up something in the past all the time, you have not forgiven. And that's how I'll tell you. No, you have not. And you'll say, oh, yes, I have. No, you haven't. If you're talking about it all the time, you know, Jan talks about so-and-so all the time, talks about her ex-husband, how she was treated the whole time, and then turns around and says, I've forgiven him. No, you have not. That's all you talk about. Ask your friends what you talk about. That's how you'll find out. And they go, yeah, you talk about that all the time. And you're like, oh, darn it, I need to go and get down into my heart, right? And I'll remind you, forgiveness is a choice, and you don't go on feelings, because you'll never feel like it. Belittling, harsh judgment, and rude tongue. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you got a log in yours? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So the bottom line is, let's make sure that we're all good. I always say to myself, I'm a full-time job in and of myself. Okay, I don't need any overtime. I'm a full-time job right here. Do people feel better about themselves after spending time with you? We're underneath the belittling, harsh, judgmental, rude tongue. If I was to walk up to your children, your spouse, your coworkers, do you feel better after spending time with Pam? When you spend time with Pam, do you feel better about yourself after spending time with her? What would they tell me? I pick on Pam because she never says anything mean or nasty. Okay, so do you focus on people's shortcomings instead of their assets? Do you focus on people's shortcomings instead of their assets? Us parents have a tendency to do that sometimes because we're trying to raise our children in the way they should go, and we're supposed to be getting rid of those shortcomings, right? Okay, and so sometimes we could spend too much time on that. Let's remember to always give kudos when we can. That was a great job. You know, you had a great attitude, by the way. Thank you for answering me on the first time. Thank you for quickly coming when I said come. Thank you for getting in the car on that first time. That really ministers to me. Sometimes you have to reach for little things. There might not be a whole lot there to reach for, okay? But thank you for cooking for me. Thank you for taking the plates up. Psalm 1:1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around the sinners, or join in with the mockers. Mocking is like bullying. Mocking is like bullying. A lot of times we say things in jest. I used to be like that. I used to say a lot of stuff in jest that really would cut you at the quick. You know what I'm saying? Do that with family members all the time. Say something that's funny, but not for them. It was really giving them a dig. And that's bullying. Bottom line, own it. God is love. He is not a bully. Proverbs, better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Are you impatient or frustrated when you are talking? Cutting words can never be recovered. Repent and remember this scripture. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. It says healthy to the body here. Another scripture says sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Are you impatient or frustrated when you're talking? Do you talk like this? A lot of moms of children talk like this because they're so used to talking like this all day long because they're trying to discipline, and then they're talking to everybody else like this. Okay. And one time I remember finding myself when I got rid of anger. I remember being delivered of anger, and I was talking like this. But on the inside, I was peace and calm. And I'm like, why am I talking like that? Because it was a habit. I was in a habit of talking like this. And I can remember sometimes I would do that with schooling the boys. I homeschooled the boys in the earlier years, and Ryan was on one side and Brett was on the other. And I'm rolling in between the two of them. And, you know, yes, yes. And then when I got to Brett, I went, yes. Mom, I think we need to take time and pray right now. And I went, yeah, I think you're right. Let's go ahead and do that. But I went from the yes, 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 yes. Okay. Oh, boy. Aren't you glad you're not up here? You don't have to share your stuff. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Are you impatient or frustrated when you talk? Many of us can be, oh, here we go. Let's get the, lift your feet up, because here I'm going. I'm going to step on your toes. Many of us can be counted among cell phone users who parade around in public places talking on their phone. Cell phones on at a church and answered. Don't answer your cell phone in the church, please. On your phone while in the checkout line. I had it. There it is. Yes, Sarah? So how did Children's Church go? Yeah. That is so rude. Now, I grew up in the generation where parents grabbed your little face and said, look at me when I'm talking to you, okay? And so I'm all about that. And you'll notice that I will look at you when I'm talking to you. And so this whole, no. And that's sometimes you don't know what it looks like. You're in a checkout line. You're in a checkout line, and the girl is trying to, or the guy is trying to talk to you, and you're, we don't want to hear about your Aunt Susie and all the problems you're having. The whole line don't want to hear about any of that. Okay? So let's just, you know, just get off the phone, man. And let's pay attention to the human being that's in front of you. You guys are missed. You're missing ministry. We are so busy on this. We're missing so many ministry. I mean, there's times we're supposed to be ministering, and we're so busy yapping on this thing. And I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of, because I'm a multitasker. I would love to go. I want to navigate. My flesh wants to navigate towards and teaching at the same time. Yeah, just stay. Okay. No. So my phone is on vibrate, and it's in my purse. Yes, and my boys don't like it, and they've tried to manipulate. They've tried to use the manipulative tongue by saying, we don't even have you down as an emergency contact. We have our daddy down, and we have Pam Pridmore. And I say, that's great. That didn't work for me. The manipulation didn't work. That's just how I feel. I know it's true. Okay, so they try, though. I'll give them an A for effort. Okay, so that's right. Have you made, I'll put here, shouldn't our love for God and the desire to represent him well have an impact on our day-to-day behavior? Have you made this ungodly and selfish decision that your needs are paramount to all others? I put repent, shut your mouth, and shut off your phone. Now, that sounds very, very harsh. And sometimes we need a harsh word in the spirit. We need something to knock through the wall, to go bam, and go, okay, yeah, that's me. I got that. Okay, I get it. I get it. You can walk through Walmart, and you're hearing everybody's conversation. And because everybody's on the phone, nobody's raising their children. Okay, and children are just... they're just not being raised because people are busy with their phone. And you can see that in a restaurant. I remember seeing a boy who was probably about 10 years old trying like heck to talk to his daddy, and his daddy was just a scrolling and a scrolling and a scrolling. He was doing the daddy thing. He did the right thing. He took the kid out to eat, but never conversed with him. Never conversed with him. I promise you, your children would like to spend 10 minutes with you talking to them than 2 hours and 10 minutes, and you don't even look them in the face. Okay? My dad was around a lot watching TV, but don't interrupt him when he was on watching TV. But he was there. But I didn't really have a relationship with him because he told me to be quiet if I interrupted with gun smoke or riflemen or whatever that was. Okay, he was watching TV. So don't fool yourself. Page 5, tactless tongue. Oh, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. While honesty is good, it doesn't give you a license to say whatever you want. Just because it's true doesn't mean it needs to be shared. The most important skill is the ability to deal with others with sensitivity and to speak, probably the word is unoffensively. I don't think it's inoffensively. This tongue is seen a lot in children. Okay. There's some adults that are still children. Okay, children have no filter. I can remember Brett, one time I had pants on. They were the big, just loose pants. And he said to me, "Mommy, are you going to go out in those?" Obviously not, Brett. Okay, he was probably 6 or 7. Okay, kids are just, they have no filter. I can remember when Ryan looked and said, "Mommy, she's black." And she was. She was black, 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 black. Okay, and it's in the middle of a, you know, it's a chicken place, and there's people in line, and, you know, and his mom, and he was innocent. He's 3 or 4 years old. "Mommy, she's black." And she just went. And I went, "Yes, and he's brown, and he's beige, and I'm white, and him." Mamma mia. Okay, so that's children, okay? Okay, it's like they have no filter. But there's adults who don't have a filter. You know, and at least with children, they're usually innocent in it. Why would you put, here's one. Okay, here, this is the one that really got me, because I do this to my husband all the time. Why would you put the couch against that wall? Really? You thought those two things matched? Are you kidding me? Okay, those kind of things.
I'm here.
I know, baby. Are tactless. Okay? That makes him feel like he can't make a decision. Okay? So if your spouse moves things around in the living room, just think twice before you say something. Is it a kingdom issue? Is it okay if the chair just sits there even though you'd really like it 2 feet over this way? Come on now. Let's minister to the spouse, okay? What's the long-term effects of things? But I'm, and of course, yeah, I feel comfortable with Scott, and so, like, we just moved in, and so this one really got me because he's trying to put things, he's trying to cover up walls, and I'm like, "No! You have the outside, I have the inside," which is, that is our thing, our little rule. You know, but, you know, when he would go up and he goes, "So what do you think about this over here?" And he put something up, and I'd walk in the room and I'm like, "You're kidding me. You really thought that went on that wall?" Now, I don't need to be saying it like that. That's really rude. Really. When I stop and think about it, he's over there smiling back there. But, you know, when I think about it, I'm thinking all the times I've said that. That does not, I would do this. Oh, seriously, really? No, I would go like this. No, I know that ain't right. Okay, and then you wonder why that person then is always questioning and asking your opinion about other things, and then you're mad because you want them to make their own decisions. Well, they've tried, and they got lambasted. Okay? Just so you can see why I had a hard time with this one. Okay. Here's one. Here's a godly one. Just trust God. That's it. Can't you just trust God? Now, that's a great statement, but it's the way I'm saying it and how I'm coming forth with that that can make you feel very small. Maybe you're struggling to trust God in a certain area, and I come in and go, will you just trust God in that? Get over that. I don't need to be doing it that way. I need to be lovingly bringing you into the area of being able to trust God in that. Or, as you know, or so, you know, like, how about we pray about that? It sounds like you're struggling in that area. And boy, I've struggled in areas like that before. Can I pray with you about that? That's a lot different than going, just trust God in that. That's harsh. Ugh. I need to get off this one because it's really, I got to make sure, I don't want any condemnation to come in. Come get away from me, condemnation, in Jesus' name. Okay. Has your spouse, friend, colleague said to you, I know you probably won't like what I picked out, but what do you think? I wish I had your faith. People have said those kind of things to you. Maybe you've been a little bit tactless. When you encounter someone, do they leave encouraged or deflated? So when Pastor Scott said to me about what I thought, you know, he's trying to put stuff up all up in the living room and stuff like that and in the dining room area, do you think he left encouraged or deflated? Ephesians 4:29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, there's nothing wrong with me learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, close my big mouth, and when he puts something that's God-awful on the wall, I can sit there and just take a breath and go, I think the color scheme might be a little bit off, but let's look at this, or what do you think about that? And still pull in his opinion. Next, the intimidating tongue. Come over here and I'll give, here's one for Samuel. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. Intimidators count on the victim to wilt in the face of their verbal attack. Did you know headaches, anxiety, nervousness, insomnia, stress, fatigue, low self-esteem, and depression are earmarks of someone who's been victimized by an intimidating tongue? Friendships take two-way conversation. Do you find people clam up around you when you're around? Then you have an intimidating tongue. They're so scared to say anything because you intimidate them. So they're afraid to say anything. They know they don't say anything, then they can't be intimidated. If you are the victim, listen to me, victims. I know some victims out there. Calmly let them know their yelling has no impact on you. God is the only one you fear. God never meant for anyone to oppress or dominate another person. Hold no grudge and forgive. If you're the intimidator, break ties in your past where you grew up in an environment that was chaotic and you felt powerless. Repent to the victim, if appropriate, and forgive yourself. So some of you came out of an environment that you had no control in, and so you became very intimidating as a defense mechanism. I used to be intimidating. I guess some people still think I'm intimidating. And that was a defense mechanism because of my chaotic environment I came out. I had no control, right? So I was abused, had no control in that. And so I'm going to grab control where I can grab control. And so the more I grow in God, the less intimidating I become because I'm learning to give him control. I'm not supposed to have control of anything. But if you've been abused or whatever, or you've grown up in a very chaotic environment, your go-to, your flesh, will try to take control. Okay? And you've got to learn to give that up to God. That's why we're supposed to die when we find Jesus. You're supposed to die to self. That's what the baptism is all about. When you get baptized in the water, is that you're dying, the old man dies, and the new one comes up. Okay. So your words matter, by the way. Repent for the vows that you made. I will never feel out of control ever again, or no one will ever talk to me like that again. These statements cause you to fall into a defensive posture and become the very thing you hate, or cause you not to trust anyone and put a wall up. You got burned by somebody, I'll never trust another man again, and then the poor guy that comes into your life is having to prove his trust to you all the time because you got this vow you've made. And you're holding him to a standard that, you know, it wasn't his fault to begin with. And then you got the cynical, doubting tongue. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Ask Eliab. He scorned David's confidence and motives. Eliab was one of David's brothers, and he was jealous. When David went to go kill Goliath, "You are so small, you puny little thing. You can't kill, I mean, you can't kill a flea. You can't even carry the armor." He made fun of him and mocked him. Are you that way? Are you a discourager? Have you eroded someone's enthusiasm and confidence at work, at home, at school, or at church? Is someone supposed to rise up in a ministry you are involved in, and you're supposed to decrease and actually encourage them and assist them to rise up in that position and take it over? Oops. Okay, maybe they're supposed to, like for me, with children's church. If my heart wasn't right, I would want to hang on to that. But I saw the gifting in Sarah, and I needed to hand it over. So ask the 10 spies about their doubting. 12 spies were sent. 10 said what? "Oh, my God, we can't move in there. There's no way we can go there. The people are big. There's no way we're going to be able to fight them. There's no way." Well, guess what happened with their doubting? I mean, really, if we took God as serious, I mean, how would you like it if you the first time you doubted, you spent 40, you died in the wilderness? Their generation died in the wilderness as a consequence for doubting. The only two who didn't were the two who didn't doubt. Who was that? Caleb and Joshua, thank you. Caleb and Joshua did not doubt. They were going, "Come on, guys, God's got this. He wouldn't send us in to go check it out if he wasn't going to take care of it." And how many times did he already snuff out people groups for them? And they still just doubted. Those two generations got to go in. The others died out in the wilderness. That's huge. That's a huge consequence for doubting. And we doubt all the time, and just we're flipping about it. He's God. Repent for doubting God's word. Don't get stuck in the sense realm, which is so hard. Okay? Grab hold of Scripture. Truth is not about our senses. And that's where I am right now. I'm in the sense realm. I feel it. I see it. I don't like it. But I'm standing firm on God's word. Healing is on its way. However he's bringing me my healing, it's on its way. And I'm going to trust him in that. Finally, page 6, the self-absorbed tongue. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So look at your Facebook page. Here's an assignment for all of you who have Facebook. Look at your Facebook page and look at your last few texts. Are they about you? Or did you focus on the listeners and readers? Make it purposeful to ask open-ended questions. You who have a self-absorbed tongue. You who have a struggle with this. In other words, you like to talk about yourself. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. When you walk into a room and you don't know somebody, ask them about themselves. And you're easy, schmeezy. Conversation starts. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's you should do that. That's what I do. If I don't know somebody, I always ask them about themselves. You know, well, what do you like to do? What's your hobby? Whatever. What's your job? And then I ask questions. I listen. I make eye-to-eye contact. Then I'll say, "Well, that's really interesting. Tell me more about that. I've never heard of that." It shows you're interested in the person. So, but if you have a self-absorbed tongue, you're the one that wants to talk about yourself all the time. Maybe I might ask Linda about being a nurse. "Tell me about you being a nurse, Linda." And she starts to tell me about being a nurse. And then I cut her off and I start talking about me being a nurse. "Oh, yeah, I've had that. Oh, yeah, I've had that to happen before. Let me tell you about the story there." And then she tries to tell me a little bit more about her being a nurse. And then I cut in again and I tell her another good juicy story about what happened to me in the emergency room or whatever. That's a self-absorbed tongue. I'm having a self-absorbed tongue, right? So I need to make it purposeful to ask open-ended questions and listen only. No response. Just listening. No response of my take on what she's saying. Nothing. Just listening. Can you go a whole day without making yourself the focus? Try going a whole day without making yourself the focus. This might sound like, you know, "Oh, really, Teresa?" Some of you have a problem with this. And I'm giving you an assignment. You need to be circling this thing and going, "I need to do that, okay? And I need to go a whole day without doing Facebook." or whole week. I don't know what you need to do, but God will show you. Cursing tongue. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I was just thinking of somebody. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. This is one that a lot of the body of Christ falls into. The obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse joking. We can fall into that really, really easy. Okay? Sometimes we lack an adequate vocabulary to express our frustration. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. Help him come up with some, Lord, what different words can I use besides those words that are very offensive? And just come and start, you just ask him to give you a different vocabulary and plug in those words. Fudge, flip, you know. Sometimes when I get really frustrated, I'll say, you know, and I guess the people who get it, you know, they're just laughing because they're like, I've never heard about your mother's mustache. And then you'll watch them go, and then they'll laugh, because I guess they think of their mother, and I guess they think about the little mustache. I don't know. But sometimes I'll just say that if I'm real frustrated, that'll come out of my mouth. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. Do not stand in the presence of obscene speech when you are able to walk away. Don't stay with it. Just walk away. And don't walk away abruptly with your head up, your little nose up in the air. You can quietly walk away from something. When I used to walk away from obscene stuff all the time at work, I never just, and off I went. I would just go get a cup of coffee and stuff, and they just caught the hint that they noticed that every time they were telling obscene jokes, Teresa left the room. But it's not because I left abruptly, okay? Complaining tongue. Do everything without complaining. Do everything without arguing, and you will become blameless and pure children of the Lord. There are instances where you need to get something off your chest, but check your motive and check who you are saying it to. A trusted, godly person that will lead you in what the word says and you actually applying the word is beneficial. If you just rehearse your problems and take no action, the listener will become weary of you. Stop complaining. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Okay? If you're complaining about something, figure it out. And if you don't, and all you do is complain about it all the time, people will become weary of you, and they will not come. They don't want, it pulls people down. It makes them, around you when you're like that. So they're not going to want to hang around you. If I were to talk with your friends or family or coworkers, would complainer be a word they would use to describe you? If so, repent and go one full day of speaking things you are thankful for to the Lord. Okay? Thankfulness is always a great way to get out of the complaining mode. Accusing tongue. I heard a voice from heaven, now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. The accuser of the brethren, that is Satan himself. Talk to Adam and Eve. Have you been falsely accused? How did you handle it? Did you accuse someone? Why and how did you deliver the accusation? Sometimes when things are going awry, this is your go-to. Accusing everyone and every situation around you for why things are falling apart. Well, the only reason why I did that is because I wouldn't have said that to him if he hadn't said this first. If he would have just done what he was told, I wouldn't have yelled and screamed, moms. You should not lose control whether they've done what they're supposed to do or not. Stop blaming everybody else. Take accountability for yourself. Own it. Repent for it. Move on and trust God. You got to trust God with the person in the circumstance. Silent tongue. This is the last one. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. Silence is not golden when we refuse to defend someone against unwarranted criticism, rumors, or harm. Don't let fear of rejection keep you silent. There are many families filled with physical, sexual, and verbal abuse. And there is another adult in the room that knows all about it and is part of it and keeps silent in the home. That is sin. You need to repent and you need to do something about it. I hear it all the time in deep healing. The father is beating the tar out of everybody in the house, and the mother stays. Verbally abusing, screaming and yelling at everybody. Everybody's on pins and needles. And there's mom with the silent tongue, or the opposite, the other way around. That is not the time to stay silent. So I want to make sure that when you hear about the silent tongue, there are times where we need to be quiet, but that silent tongue can become an enabler. You don't ever tell. You make excuses for your husband when he's really so drunk he can't go to work in the morning, so you call him for him. That's an enabler. And you husbands, you don't ask your wives to call in for you. They're not your mama. They're your wives. But you don't make them part of your sin. Demonic voices of fear, pride, and rejection drawn out of Holy Spirit guidance. Prayer was removed from schools because the majority of Christ followers remained silent. We're in the situation we are in the United States of America right now because we stayed silent. Nobody fought against the gay lesbian agenda. Nobody fought against, you know, and I don't know what it was I'm supposed to do. Did I miss it? Did you miss it? I don't know. But I know one thing. We have to be very careful with the silent tongue. Now, the other way around, the reason why the silent tongue is on here is the person who, are you the one that when you're mad at your family, you stay silent for days? That's I'll tell you one, that's a mean one. That's cruel. I had an uncle who did that. Would not talk to his family for weeks. Weeks. They live in the same house because they had an argument. I remember the family coming over for Christmas Day because their dad wouldn't talk to him. He was still not talking to him over an argument 2 weeks before that, and it's Christmas Day, so they came over to our house so they had somebody to talk to. Okay? That's so unhealthy, right? That's a silent tongue. So let's make sure that we're not pulling the silent tongue in two different ways. One way that we're doing harm by not allowing communication to happen. See, my uncle didn't allow communication to happen. He'd say his part, and then he'd get pulled silent, and wouldn't let anybody talk. That's not fair. What do we say all the time? Communicate, 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 repent. Communicate, 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 repent. Communicate. Communicate. And the other thing is, let's not go too far the other way with our tongue and saying, oh, well, we don't need to get involved in that. Somebody else needs to get involved in that at that level. I'm not called to politics. I'm not called to be a senator or whatever. But maybe we're called to sign a petition, or I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. But we have to make sure that we're not turning a blind ear, an eye to it. You know, and sometimes I'm wondering if I've been guilty of that. Obviously, the majority of us have been guilty of that. Because we are where we are right now in the United States of America. Okay, and we are the church, right? So, Lord, I just thank you for showing us all about the tongue. Father, I ask that right now that those who have been listening to this, that they take it seriously, because you sure did. There's people who never made it into the promised land. There's people who lied that got killed. There's people who were prideful with their mouth and lost the kingdom and lost their mind. Father, forgive us for not taking you seriously and taking your proverbs. Most of these things were in the proverbs. Taking your proverbs seriously. The wise sayings. Thank you, Father. And Lord, will you continue, Holy Spirit, will you just bring it up throughout the week? Just bring it up to us throughout the week. Things that we need to repent for. And just, Holy Spirit, just really grab hold of our tongues during the week. Just grab hold of our tongues for a moment in time. Just remind us about the tongue. Father, we're preparing ourselves for battle. We've got to get the tongue. We've got to get this tongue under control so that we can be mighty warriors for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.